If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And before we get started, there are a couple of announcements I'd like to bring attention to. One is September 5th, Labor Day. After church that day, we're going to have a fellowship luncheon. And then the 11th of September will be a yard sale. And then starting September 27th, we're going to start a movie night back up again that we discontinued when COVID hit. And also, as you notice in their August birthdays, today is Edwin Jessick's birthday. And so wish him happy 39th. Okay. I'm dyslexic, so. Edwin, I hope you don't mind, but he is 93 today, so wish him a happy birthday. Also, several people have asked me about the devastation that happened in part of Candler and also part of Haywood County. And I had someone with me on Thursday that we had the opportunity to go up and travel through Crusoe and Sunburst area of Haywood County because it was a congressman that sits on the committee that handles emergency relief funds, and so I took him up there to look at it. And folks, it's just hard to describe what happened to Crusoe especially, okay? I literally saw a mobile home that was 14 by 70, okay, that was suspended in midair, wrapped around a sycamore tree about as high off the ground as that clock is back there on the wall, okay? And there was areas that it just looked like a war zone, and I've been in a war zone, you know? The roads are torn up. There was a section of river up there that every tree on the river bank was over, and it looks like someone had just taken a bulldozer and went down the river bank pushing them over. And I mean trees as big as the wheels on a truck, you know. It's just, you know, and debris everywhere, you know, cars everywhere, you know, campers everywhere, you know, parts of homes everywhere, you know. It's just, and there are approximately 600 families in the Crusoe neighborhood who literally lost everything. Yeah. So if you want to help, I know Hearts with Hands has got a site up where they're taking donations. The Haywood Baptist Association, Dennis Thurman, who used to be the pastor of Pole Creek Baptist Church here in Candler, and I personally know him. He retired, and they asked him to take over the Baptist Association of Haywood County, and so he set up an emergency fund. And then the 11th District Republican Party has actually got a site up in which we're collecting funds and donating to a restaurant that is there right at the corner of 215 and 276, and they're serving meals to all the first responders, the fire department, you know, DOT people, everybody that's doing cleanup, and so we're buying the food and the drinks and all that for them during this time frame, just to help that way. But if you'd like to help in any of those, I know that it would probably be very, very much appreciated. And I can speak from personal experience what it's like to lose everything, okay? Kathy Rodarmer's sitting here, and she can probably tell you the same thing I'm about to tell you, okay? When I was about 10 years old, I came out of the woods, and I'd been over in a creek trout fishing. And I looked, and the gables of our house had flames shooting out of both sides of the home. And I stood there and watched it burn, and my mom and dad were gone with my sister. And literally everything we owned, except the clothes that I had on, and I had on a pair of cut-off Levi's, and that's what I had on, okay? And everything else I owned was gone, you know? So it's tough when you see that, and this is what's happened to those families in Haywood County, okay? There are some here in Buncombe County, okay? Warren's Creek area, especially in Buncombe County, and part of Hominy Creek area. Same thing happened. So just keep these people in your prayers, would you? Okay. Now, any other announcements? Okay. If not, would you take your bulletin and turn to the unison reading, and let's do what's printed there together. And it reads,
"The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?"
Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in the bulletin. Please stand and we'll sing this together. I worship you, Almighty God.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with heavy hearts and for those around us that have lost everything. And we ask, Lord, that you have your arms of comfort around them. Help us as a church, Lord, to lift each other up and to help those around us that we can help. And we ask that your presence be here with us, Lord. Guide us, direct us, and forgive us our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 92. God of grace and God of glory.
Seated. And as you know, we're going through the shorter catechisms, and I'm going to do question 47 and 48 this morning. I'll read the question, and you do the answer that's printed in bold. Question 47. What is forbidden in the first commandment?
The first commandment forbids the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God, and our God, and the giving of that worship and glory to any other, which is due to him alone.
What are we specifically taught by these words, before me, in the first commandment?
These words, before me, in the first commandment, teach us that God, who sees all things, takes notice of, and is much displeased with, the sin of having any other God.
And as we come to our time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read Hebrews 13, verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
So as the instrumentalists are getting geared up here, I'll just want to say that the song we're going to do this morning is one that Jeannie's mother really loved. I remember seeing Mary Davidson sitting right there during these presentations of this song, and I just think of her every time we do this, and great memories of a great Christian lady. Glory Land Way.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity to bring a portion of back to you on what you've given us. We ask, Lord, you to bless each gift and each giver and help us as a church to use these funds wisely to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Now,
It's just a wonderful thing as we see the body of Christ come together and do things that are fun and uplifting. And you know, no matter how sad things may be here on earth, the sun's always shining in God's kingdom. So we have a reason to be joyful, even in spite of anything that we face here on earth. So, and I do want to certainly express my appreciation to Tim and to Alan for playing this morning. It's great when the body of Christ comes together. So we do have a number of things to pray about this morning as a congregation. We're here to pray not only for our people, but also for our community and also for our nation, for this world that we live in. So at this time, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's always a comfort for us to be able to bow before you and call you Father. Lord, we know that you're sovereign over all things, sovereign over this world. You're sovereign over our nation, the United States of America, that you're sovereign over our communities and that you're sovereign over our households. Lord, we pray and come before you this day and ask for your mercy. Lord, we do pray for those things that are happening around this world that are against you, those things that are happening that take away people, that take away lives, that take away resources, that destroy families. And Father, we ask that by your mercy and grace that you would intervene. And Father, that you would stop those who have evil in their hearts and replace it with the joy of your salvation. Father, for our country, for the United States of America, and Lord, we know that we are a nation divided. We know there are those here that are seeking to go in a different direction from our forefathers. And Lord, we pray and ask that you would be the judge, that you would be the one who turns this country, even as you turn rivers to go from side to side, so you would turn the heart of our nation back to you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd grant us another great revival in this land. I pray that you would call us back to your throne, that we might rejoice and in saying one nation under God. Father, we also pray for our community, and Lord, we have been hard hit. There are those here that are suffering tremendously because of the flood that's happened, because of the amount of rain that's fallen. Lord, we pray and ask that your mercy here would be great. Lord, that you would soothe the hearts of those who are grieving over lost loved ones, that you would restore those who have lost everything. And Lord, we know that only you can do this. We pray for our part in this, that we would do whatever we can to help alleviate this suffering. Our Father, we also pray for our congregation. Lord, for those who are requesting prayer right now, we pray for Lily Moore. We ask, Lord, that you would protect her and keep her through these days until Thursday when she has this surgical procedure. And we ask, Lord, that it would be successful and that she would be restored to health, that you would strengthen her physically. Lord, we also pray for the others that are here in need of prayer. We're grateful and thankful, Lord, that your hand is at work, that even this morning, Lord, as we see the Gibsons here worshiping with us, and we thank you and praise you for the work that you've done in their lives and in their hearts, and pray for the continued work of your Holy Spirit, that you would heal them completely. Father, for others who may be struggling this morning with emotional difficulties and problems, Lord, that you're the one that we can turn to and cast our anxieties upon you because you care for us. So, Lord, we do that in this hour. We call upon your name. And Lord, I pray and ask that your Holy Spirit would be here to lead us as we worship you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that we would worship you with all of our hearts, being grateful for a God who loves us and who cares for us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 80. Number 80, which is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Please stand and we'll sing this together. Mm-hmm.
Please be seated.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and reading verses 15 to 23. This is Ephesians chapter 1, reading verses 15 to 23. And hear now the word of God. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, some years ago, there was a movie that kind of came out of nowhere and took America and England and pretty much the world by storm. And the title of this movie was Chariots of Fire. Some of you may remember that. Kind of an intriguing title. Came out in 1981. And you may remember that this was the story of two Olympic runners. One of them was Eric Liddell, who was a Scottish Presbyterian, by the way, and Harold Abrahams, who was from England, and he was Jewish. And it showed how each of them prepared and how each of them went through all the rigors of training and then coming all the way up to the final day of the great race. But if you remember the movie, it was intriguing because Eric Liddell was one who based everything that he did on the glory of God. He even said in one particular instance, and it was a quote from Eric Liddell in his real life, and it said that when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. This movie was the unlikely winner of four Academy Awards, including Best Picture of the War, Best Picture of the Year. And you may remember from going back there, I think of war, because there were other movies that were out at that time that were supposed to win hands down. And yet this movie so intrigued people and so captured their imagination for this individual, Eric Liddell, who was a missionary and, by the way, ended up dying on the mission field. Chariots of Fire. You know, where did they come up with a name like Chariots of Fire? Well, actually comes right out of the Bible. And some of you may be familiar with this. This is from 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 15 to 17. And just to give a little bit of history behind this, this is where Elisha the prophet told the king exactly where the armies would be, the armies of Aram, king of Aram, where they would be and how to avoid them, until the king finally said, I feel like this prophet is in my own bedroom hearing everything I say. And so he said, I don't care what it takes, find this prophet and kill him. And so the next morning after that, well, I'll just read it for you. This is for 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. And it says this, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. This is the city of Dothan. All around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And Elisha said, Do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. A very dramatic moment in the Old Testament happening right there. The word of Elisha, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. As far as we know, there weren't any soldiers around Dothan, human soldiers. You know, the Apostle Paul prayed almost exactly the same thing in the passage that we read this morning here in Ephesians chapter 1. Because he prayed that the eyes of your hearts might be enlightened. You see, Ephesus at that time and the entire church of Jesus Christ on earth at that point was under severe attack. Every single one of them. And they were losing heart because of the terrible things that were taking place with them. They were being subjected to great injustice simply because they would not deny the name of Jesus Christ. And I know there are times today when we think that we have it bad, but they were having their children taken away and raised by the state. That was in Ephesus. They were not allowed to own property in Ephesus. They had to work longer work days for less money in Ephesus. All because they wouldn't deny the name of Jesus Christ. And they were losing heart. It's like, why are we going through all this? Why don't we just forget it? Just give up, join in with the world, and then we'll enjoy a better lifestyle. We'll have all the things that they have. And the Apostle Paul was saying, don't do it. Don't do it. I know there are times when you're pushed off to the side and you feel like you're all alone. You're the only one that's going through this, but it's not true. In fact, we're told that your brothers in all of the world are suffering the very same things that you're suffering. The eyes of your heart, they were gradually losing their grip. And it was because of fear. They were afraid. That's why Elisha, the first thing that he said to his servant Gehazi, he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, Paul was giving the church, not just the church in Ephesus, but the church universal. He was giving them a reality check on, first of all, who God was, and secondly, who we are in Christ. You know, have you ever seen that commercial where somebody is upset and they're complaining and somebody slaps them in the face and they stop and they say, thanks, I needed that. Well, this is what Paul was doing to the church then and to the church today. He was giving them a slap of reality and saying, now you have to stop and get out of the trenches, get out of the trench that you're living in here, get up on the top of it and look around and get the big picture. Because you get so focused on your life right here and what's happening and what's happening in the world, and you know, and we forget who God is. We forget what he's done. We forget what he's capable of doing. We lose heart. And I wouldn't be surprised if a number of us today are right on that edge of just losing heart. When is this ever going to end? And Paul is saying, first of all, look at who God is. He mentions the very first thing in this passage. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? We know that Jesus is second person of the Trinity, that he is God. But he's saying the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Who's he pointing to? He's pointing to God Almighty. He's reminding the Ephesians that it was God's almighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. When all was lost, all hope was lost, when the disciples wanted to just end it all, Jesus was raised from the dead. And he said, this is the same God that serves you right now. This is the God that you worship right now, that you serve right now. He has not changed. He is the almighty, sovereign, everlasting God. Same God who empowers us. You know, there's a verse. This is in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it says this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. And just in short, what this means is the same God who raised Jesus will infuse you and give you the strength. You know, the Bible says that when we're weak, then we're strong. When we're able to get rid of all of our strengths and place ourselves completely in God's hands, that's when we start to understand the strength of Almighty God. When we're at that last moment, that last gasp of air, God gives us new strength. He who waits on the Lord will gain new strength. Now this is, he also talks about here that when he gives us this, may give you, that the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And he's saying this is how God does this. This is the spirit of wisdom. He applies the truth of his word to our lives through his spirit. And as he applies this, gives us this truth, reveals this truth to our lives, we begin to employ it in our lives. We begin to act it out in our lives. And this is called wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. God reveals his truth to us. We put it into practice in our lives, and that is wisdom. And God grants us wisdom. And Paul says to this, I pray that the eyes of your hearts might be opened. You see, this very same thing happened to Paul. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded and knocked to the ground, and he said, who are you, Lord? And the voice from heaven said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. And Paul went through a period of time where he was blind until the Holy Spirit sent Ananias to him and spoke to him. And he makes the statement that all of a sudden it was like scales dropping off of his eyes. You see, this was the Lord giving him spiritual eyes. This was the Lord enlightening him in the eyes of his heart. And he began to see things differently. He began to see the spiritual side of everything that he was going through. Now, a person that's never surrendered to Jesus Christ can't see that. That's why Elisha had to pray for his servant, Lord, open his spiritual eyes. Take the blinders off of his eyes so that he can see the reality of this situation right here. He reveals the truth of his word. He gives us spiritual eyes so that we can see. And you know, in this process, as Paul describes this to the Ephesian Christians, he says there are three different areas that are affected by this. Three different areas. He says this, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might? Talks about three benefits of having our spiritual eyes opened so that we can see the reality of what's all around us. And the first thing he talks about here is so that we would know the hope of his calling. You know, hope is something that is necessary in our lives, especially as Christians. If we lose our hope, there's no reason to move forward. But we're given a hope that can't be quenched. We're given a hope that's immeasurable by the Lord. In fact, no matter what circumstance that we find ourselves involved in, God gives us the promise that it's part of His plan, not the plan of this world, not the plan of evil men worldwide. It's His plan. In fact, He says this. This is so, everybody knows this. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. And it says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." All things? All things? The things that are happening right now in Australia, the things that are happening in Afghanistan, all these things are working together for God's people? That's what it says. "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." He's giving us the progression here, that once those spiritual blinders are taken off and we begin to see the world the way God sees it, our perspective changes. Everything changes. We're called to be His. And God never fails in anything that He does. This is why I mentioned this verse last week, Psalm 2. "He who sits on high laughs. Why do the nations rage? Why are they in such an uproar? Why are they trying to bring down His chosen one? He who sits on high laughs." Why? Because they're all playing into His plan. So He says that we know the hope of His calling. We've been called to be His children, to be His sons and daughters. And because of that, He loves us with an everlasting love. It will never change. That we know the riches of the glory of His inheritance. We enjoy the privileges of God's children. He watches over Israel. The God who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always watching over us. We're His family. He cares for us. You know, as human parents, when we look at our children, aren't we concerned for their welfare? It doesn't matter if they're 50, 60 years old. And they're our children. We're concerned about them because we love them. God loves us far greater than we could ever love our own children. And He will not allow us to suffer needlessly. Never. We're His family. So He says the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance. And then He talks about the surpassing greatness of His power. I want to read something else out of Romans. This is Paul. Again, Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. And he says this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, and we might add, or pestilence. As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us." And then He gives this message of hope, and it's for us. He says, "For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." See, this is a word of great power. This is talking about the Almighty Sovereign God who watches over His people. And whatever the plans may be of this world or of evil men who are seeking to destroy God's church on earth, they will not succeed because they're standing against an almighty God. Well, so I guess the next question is, so why is this important? Why is this important? You know, well, it was important for the early church because it gave them tremendous encouragement in their darkest hours, to know that God hadn't forgotten them, He hadn't forsaken them, that He was watching over them. God's faithfulness gave them the victory over that darkness. So what about for us today? It's always easier to look back in our lives and say, well, God got me through that. Yeah, I was in a terrible situation, but God got me through it. It's always easy to look back and see how God did it. But it's always difficult to look forward because we don't know how God's going to do it. And there's always the thought, well, what if God forgets? What if God forsakes us? What if this thing doesn't work out? What if they come to our door and slam on our door and pull us out and kill us? What's going to happen? God's not going to allow that to happen. God did it then, but will he do it again? Yes. Absolutely, God will. Now, you know, right now we're facing some extreme times here in the United States and really around the world. And I know that you're aware of these things. We look at the local things that are happening and it breaks our hearts to see people that are suffering. But if we look beyond the United States and we see people who are suffering even greater tragedies than this. I mentioned Australia. Probably most of you have read or you know that Australia has rounded up 24,000 children and they've taken them to a large arena type thing to give them the COVID injection against the will of their parents and against the law. But they've done it. They did it. See, those are freedoms that we have been granted. Australians were granted, but we've been granted certain freedoms here in the United States, and we're seeing these freedoms being stepped on and in many cases taken away. And I know we look at this and we wonder, well, what's next? What freedoms are they going to take away next? We can see that the persecution of Christians is increasing, the number of churches that are being attacked, that are having graffiti sprayed all over them, because they're not buckling under and surrendering to the will of the community. Persecution is growing, not just in America, it's growing all over the world. We know that around the world, Christians are being targeted and they're being martyred. They're being put to death. If you've been following the news this week, coming out of Afghanistan, you know what's happening in Afghanistan. That there were 40,000 roughly that were left in Afghanistan. There were roughly 800 some missionaries that were not able to get out of Afghanistan. And those missionaries now are being targeted one by one by the Taliban. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to read something to you. This came out yesterday, and it's a quote from a mission organization who had people in Afghanistan, and it says this: hours ago, as the Taliban took control of Kabul, Afghanistan, my friends and I sat and stared breathless at my iPhone. The BBC showed hundreds of terrified people racing across the airport tarmac, pleading for help and hoping to climb onto U.S. Air Force planes leaving the country. It was pandemonium, and I wept at the sight. The church in Afghanistan is the second fastest growing church worldwide. I bet we didn't know that. I didn't know it. And now our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing vicious retaliation from the Taliban. Please join me in praying that God will strengthen them, pouring out courage and mercy and comfort, and that the Afghanistan church will be bold in witnessing to panicking neighbors and friends. I watched a live feed from a pastor in Afghanistan as he talked about what was happening to his church members and how they were fleeing and they were hiding. But he said the amazing thing is they would not denounce Jesus Christ as their Lord, even at the point of a gun. He recounted a story where he was speaking to one of his parishioners and he could hear them in the back. There was a lot of confusion in the back. And it was the mother and the father, and they had a little daughter, a little girl. And he heard the little girl say, "Don't worry, Mommy, I will not denounce Jesus." He said he heard the door open and automatic gunfire, and he never heard another thing. This is what they're going through. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can watch this and be terrified. We hear the stories of the beheadings, of the murders, of the things that are taking place. And they're not targeting they're targeting Christians, believers. These are our brothers and sisters. These are people that have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. And they're willing to stand up for what they believe, even if it means death. And the pastor that was sharing all this said, you know, he said, the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We're not afraid to die because we know that Jesus will be there with us. He'll take us by the hand and he'll usher us into his kingdom. They believe it. They're willing to die for it. Well, so what are we supposed to do? And I don't share this so that people will be afraid. I share it for the very opposite reason. I don't want you to be afraid. What's the first thing that Elisha said? Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. I'm sure you all know that the Taliban, when they went in to Kabul and into some of the other cities, the first thing they did was to reach out and grab the pastors. They grabbed the spiritual leaders. They were the first ones, because if they can harm them, then the flock will scatter. But the flock didn't scatter. And those men were willing to stand up and proclaim Jesus, even though they knew it would mean their death. Now we can say, well, that's in Afghanistan. That's not here in the United States. We're only a heartbeat away. We're only a heartbeat away. And we're coming to the point where we have to stand up for what we have professed year after year. That we place our faith and our trust in an almighty and sovereign God. He will not forsake us. He will not leave us alone. Neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't be afraid. That's what he tells us. Remember what happened when Elisha's servant's scales came off his eyes and he saw that they were surrounded by chariots of fire. You know, God has a purpose in everything that we're experiencing right now. He's aware of it. He knows it, knows what's happening. Nothing escapes his notice. He knows it all. And he says that all these things are working together for good, not for evil. Evil will not win. Now, we have things that are coming up that I know are going to be huge distractions in America. We know that once reports come out from Arizona, that there will be probably riots in America. There will be false accusations. And we're not going to know what to believe. It's going to be a very confusing time. And I'm talking about September and October. We're right on the edge of it right now. A lot of things are going to be happening. And it's going to be easy to take our eyes off of our sovereign God and look on our circumstances and give in to fear. But I want you to remember what Elisha said. Do not be afraid. Don't give in to these things. Our God is greater than this. And he will see us through. He will protect us. He will not forsake us ever. Somebody was mentioning the other day that, I think it was Dale, when it says that I will never in any way forsake you, it uses a double negative. And what it means is that there's no possible way, never, ever will I forsake you. He's right there with us. He will see us through this time. We're going to come out on the other side. And when we do, we're going to come out a lot stronger. Put our faith and our trust in God Almighty. Let the eyes of our hearts be opened. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful that you've promised us that you'll never leave us. Lord, we need to know that in our hearts, because there are times when we grow weak. We grow tired of the battle. And Lord, we need you by our side. We need you to come and strengthen us, that when we're weak, then you're strong in our midst. So, Father, we do pray and ask that your mighty hand might be at work, that you would save those missionaries and pastors in Afghanistan, that you would protect those children that have been vaccinated in Australia, that, Lord, your mighty hand would be at work to save and preserve the innocent. And, Lord, again, we thank you that it's all because of your grace and your great mercy that we can endure, that we can move forward. So, Father, we ask now that by your Spirit that you would protect us. I pray as the pastor of this congregation that you would protect each member of our church, that your shield would be upon them, that your hedge of protection would be around them, and Lord, that you would give us victory in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.
And our hymn of response this morning is number 406. We'll sing the first three verses here and then the fourth verse for a benediction response. Please stand and we'll sing these first three verses, number 406, Christ the Sure and Steady Anchor.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen. Yeah.